Welcome to Repro360's podcast, Making Better Bovine Babies. Proudly sponsored by Vetoquinol Australia, our goal is to help you get better results from your assisted breeding programs, whether you're a producer, an AI technician, or even a vet. We hope we can inspire, educate, and at times entertain you as we delve into the fascinating world of making better bovine babies. I'm Rebecca Arnott, and today I'm up at Mackay with Dr. Jo Conley from Impact Veterinary Services, who is going to share her knowledge about getting started with artificial insemination in beef cattle. Jo, thank you for making time to talk with me ahead of this year's spring breeding season. The name Impact Veterinary Services packs a punch. Tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a cattle vet and starting your own business.
Well, g'day, Beck, and thanks for having me on the podcast today. So I grew up on a little cattle property just south of Mackay here, I guess, and then I'd always sort of wanted to go to vet school and when I grew up. So then I headed off to Townsville and studied veterinary science at JCU there, and then I graduated that in 2016, from which then after that I headed straight across to WA, and I was in WA for about 4 years, where we did quite a lot of large-scale fixed-time commercial AI programs and that sort of thing. So sort of went over there away from home to cut my teeth, and at the start of last year I headed back home here to start Impact Veterinary Services up, and I guess I just come up with the name. I wanted to create an impact in the beef industry, so that's where it sort of all stemmed from. And yeah, we're just getting started at the moment and building up a bit of a client base over here, and yeah, getting into a fair bit of AI and embryo transfer and that sort of stuff, so it's good.
We did some market research last year and found the four main reasons producers haven't gone down the assisted breeding pathway were, number one, just a lack of knowledge about AI, the added workload, the perceived cost, and also finding the right vet or technician. So this podcast and this associated article we've just uploaded to our Repro360 website are aimed at covering the basics of getting started in AI, as well as addressing these concerns. We'll also cover a whole range of variables such as protocols, success rates, nutrition, the infrastructure needed, vaccinating, choosing semen, storing drugs, through to optimising results and post-AI management. So Jo, we've got a lot to cover. Let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a strong trend towards AI with an increasing number of commercial producers adopting this form of assisted breeding. Are you finding this is the case? And if so, what's driving it?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, Beck. A number of my producers that are taking on AI at the moment are first-time users of artificial insemination. I think a big cost at the moment, a big driver of that at the moment is just the cost of bulls. So it often allows them to do one round of AIing and then decreases the number of backup bulls and that sort of thing that they would need rather than if they were just to naturally mate the whole herd. A number of clients also just are chasing that bit better quality genetics, which is a bit easier to source with AI to semen. It's a bit easier than paying, up to $120,000 to $200,000 sometimes for a bull at the sale. And I think just the economics of the whole situation is definitely a driver of the increase at the moment. So yeah.
And I guess with the national herd rebuild still going after drought and amazing cattle prices still and good seasonal conditions, they've all got this confluence of events. That
yeah, definitely. It's all sort of lined up together, so there's a bit extra cash flow in the business. And then so I think sometimes too they're a bit more willing to take on a bit more, well, they think AI is a bit more of a risk, but it's probably not really in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, they're just a bit more willing to give these things a go, so it's good.
So like any business venture, I guess it's important to start with the end in mind. You've touched on a few things about improving genetics. Are producers, do they have really specific goals as to what they want to achieve, and is that something that needs to be established first up?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that's important to have a think about at the start, what you're wanting to achieve by what genetics you're going to put into the herd. But also another added benefit of AI is really just tightening up that joining period and getting them all within sort of a closer window. That also has added benefits for your cow's fertility the following year and that sort of thing as well. With fertility being your number one profit driver for business, that's also, yeah, it's pretty important. But, yeah, it definitely is important to have a clear goal at the start, from the outset, of what you're trying to achieve, and discuss that with your technician or vet that you've got come on board to help you with that through that process.
So once a producer has decided to give AI a go, what does he or she need to do? Is the first step finding a vet or an AI technician, or is AI something producers can do themselves?
Well, yeah, it's certainly something they can do themselves, but I'd probably recommend when you're first starting out, if you haven't had a lot of experience with it before and that sort of thing, just to get in contact with your vet, and they can help you through that process with your programs that you need to synchronise the cows and that sort of thing. There is a lot of AI courses and that out there at the moment that producers can do, but probably on the first lap, I'd recommend you get a bit of outside assistance, and they can help you through that process. Yeah.
And what's the difference between getting a vet or an AI technician to do your AI?
So if you get a vet, we've pretty much just got a very good understanding of how the hormones and everything work in the cow, so, and also how the reproductive drugs affect those hormones. So that's probably a bit of an added benefit, so we can sort of point you in the right direction of what program is going to work best for your herd and hopefully get the best outcomes for you. Yeah, I think that's probably the
difference. I guess most of the drugs used are prescription-only drugs, which a vet then needs to prescribe as
well. Yeah, that's right. Yep, so we can certainly provide them for you as well. Yeah, so that's the difference, yeah.
So how can producers find the right vet or technician to get started?
Vet Kennel has a directory for veterinarians that are able to help with artificial insemination. So, yeah, that's probably a good point of call, not just on their website. So, yeah.
And then word of mouth, no doubt, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Often your neighbours will point you in the right direction of, oh, we had a good result with such and such or whatnot. So, yeah, that definitely helps too.
Now, I mentioned earlier the added workload came up as one of the barriers to starting AI. Can you run us through what this typically entails and how much is that added workload?
Yeah, so fixed-time artificial insemination, it does increase a bit of workload, I guess, because you've got to program the cows. So there's a myriad of different programs out there that are available to use, and just depending on sort of your herd and any accreditations or whatnot that you got will depend on the program. But generally it's you've got two or three treatments and then the AI day. And so there is like additional yardings of cattle and that sort of thing as compared to just chucking the bulls out in the paddock. But I definitely think the added benefits that you get from it, it's worth the investment, that time investment, yeah.
So the benefit cost of running an AI program needs to be addressed, as it does with any business venture. Can you give us an idea of the costs involved with AI and what sort of results can producers expect, perhaps against natural mating?
Yeah, so the cost of AI, Dr. Enoch Bergman did a really good PDS, so some great results came out of that. But the cost of AI is pretty much your setup synchronisation cost. So that works out roughly around anywhere from $30 to $35 a head for the drugs, plus your artificial insemination costs for your technician or your vet, plus travel costs, as well as your semen costs, and then obviously the producer's labour in that in the yards. So I always say, and this is a very ballpark figure, and please don't criticise me if it's a bit different from this. It might be just that you live a bit further away from your vet than the average, but I generally work on a semen straw about $20 a head. I reckon we could definitely get a cow AI at under $100 a head. So, that's definitely a figure I generally give my clients. But if you want a bit more of an accurate thing, just get a proper quote and that sort of stuff. But, I think that's a pretty rough figure. Yep.
Do you think there's a tipping point at which producers decide bulls are too expensive and consider AI instead?
Yeah, I definitely think so. It depends on the amount that they're willing to spend on the bulls and that sort of thing. It's different for every business, I guess. It potentially affects a bit on the breed and the access to like what genetics are available for the breed. Like, so certain breeds are much more expensive for the bulls and that sort of thing, so it's just easy to get access to semen, so yeah.
When starting out for the first time, would you recommend producers start with a smaller group or just trying a smaller lot, and or what class of stock would they choose?
Yeah, that's definitely an option. Yeah, probably would recommend that. Often heifers are it depends who you talk to, I guess, but often heifers can be a good option to set up because then you set them up right for the rest of their life. They do sometimes say that heifers result in a bit of a less conception, but yeah, I think heifers are a good option because you can program them and get them within a short type calving window to make sure that they're going to be then right to cycle again the following year, within a bit earlier than the cow, so they've got a bit longer time to recover. And just getting your head around how the programs actually work and sort of what time commitments required of it, and making sure that your facilities work well so that you can do things within the required time frames, it probably is better that you start on with a bit smaller mob initially, and then if you want to go to a large scale, then you definitely can the following year if everything goes well. So yeah.
And I guess the other advantage with heifers is that they don't have calves at foot getting in the way and causing that distress. And
definitely.
And in theory, your best genetics would be in your heifers, wouldn't
exactly.
they? So you're getting that genetic improvement.
That quicker genetic turnover. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Would you agree nutrition is one of the key variables, if not the most important variable, in influencing the results of an AI program?
Yeah, I think it's the most important factor that will oftentimes people talk about the technician and that sort of thing, but often the horse is bolted by the time we turn up there to AI the cow. Nutrition is definitely your number one driver for good results for AI. You've got to have them on that rising plan of nutrition, making sure that they're long enough from when they've calved so that they have around 40 days after post-calving. As long as they're on that rising plan of nutrition, you should be in for some pretty good results, I would generally say. Yeah.
And a body condition score, do you have a target for that? Or?
Yeah, at least a 3 to 3.5 for body condition score. Definitely.
How important are vaccinations from a repro perspective, and what do you recommend for your clients?
Yeah, vaccination is definitely an important thing to be up to date with. You're investing quite a lot of money in your costs for your AI and their semen and everything like that. So it'd be a shame to get a really poor result just because the cows aren't vaccinated and up to date with that. Your main reproductive diseases that I commonly see is lepto, which can be covered in a 5-in-1 or a 7-in-1 vaccine, or just the straight lepto vaccine. A Vibrio, just depending on your cows, if they've had exposure to bulls in that before, there's a potential that they could have Vibrio in there if you're not a completely closed herd. And then also Pesty virus can have an impact as well. So yeah, just having that conversation with your vet before you get started, just to make sure that you've got it all bases covered, and that's just to prevent any real disasters, because I have seen a couple of them before.
Oh, I bet. How do producers go about sourcing the right semen to meet their breeding objectives?
So generally I'd say most producers, whether they've got EBVs or targets sort of thing for their breed that they're wanting to add into the herd, but you can also contact like a breed centre or something like that. Our local ones up here are probably Rocky Repro or Beef Breeding Services. They've got a catalogue of bulls there that you can sort of look through and that sort of thing, and or even if you were looking for something from a bit more in that down south there, you can certainly look up the catalogues and that, and then they can forward it onto the onto your vet or up to a breed centre here, and they'll get it to you, out to you.
Yes, I guess in the south you've got the likes of ABS and Genetics Australia.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Who have pretty extensive offerings.
Yep.
How does the semen actually get to the farm, and how should it be stored? Is this something the vet or the producer needs to organise?
It can be either way, depending on. So sometimes for my first time clients, I've got my own liquid nitrogen canister, so I can get the breed centres to send the semen to me, and then I'll take it out to the job with me. Or other times, I've got some newer clients starting up as well. They've decided they're going to do a fair bit of AI, so they've invested in a tank themselves, and then coordinated with the breed centre, and they've sent the semen out to them directly. And that it's just important, if you've got your own tank on farm, that the maintenance and nitrogen is kept up on it, because it can be a bit of a disaster if it's not filled.
I can imagine. And then what about with your cue-mate devices and synchronisation hormones?
So generally I'll organise them and provide them for the client, and we'll just go through numbers and that sort of thing when we're setting up the program, and then I'll make sure that the clients receive them before, obviously I'll get them through you guys, through Medicinal, and then I'll just make sure the client's got them in time for them to start their program and that sort of thing, so yeah.
And what about storage of those drugs? And yeah. Any suggestions around what's important there?
Yeah, it's important to keep them in a dry, clean space out of the direct sunlight. But yeah, normally it works pretty well if you've got a locked up shed or something in the yards, or another good thing is to have a little, I've seen some good yards with a little donger in the yard, so that's pretty good. But yeah, just out of the direct sunlight and dust and dirt and whatnot, so pretty good, not bad.
And I suspect you'd find, especially in Queensland and in the north, room temperature is generally 25 degrees, so with days being a lot hotter and vehicles and things,
yeah.
Do you keep drugs in the fridge for that reason?
Generally, definitely. If it in the summer months, it's good to keep them in the fridge just so that they're not breaking down and that sort of thing.
There are quite a few programs and protocols available. I know we have a dozen or so listed on our Repro 360 website. How does a producer work out which one to use?
Well, it just depends on, there's a number of different protocols depending on the hormones that we're able to use. For instance, at EU accreditation, we're not allowed to use estradiol on them. But my recommendation would be just to have a chat with your vet and make sure that you've got those programs sort of set up properly, just so that you know that you're on the right track and you're not sort of breaking any rules that you're not supposed to and that sort of thing. And it also helps with getting the correct doses, because there's a bit of difference sometimes between heifers and cows and that sort of thing. So just making sure that whoever's helping you through that process really understands what cows you're wanting to AI, just so you get good results.
That's it. And I think it's, whether you're doing cows or heifers, differences between Bos taurus and Bos indicus can have different protocols, can't they? And
definitely.
Whether you're using sex-ordered semen, and there's a lot to consider.
Definitely. And we don't want your first attempt out there to be a bit of a train smash. So it's always good to get the right advice from the start.
Jo, what's needed in the way of yards and equipment to run a smooth and safe AI program?
You'll need a vet crush with a good kick gate on it. That's just for your AI day, as well as your cumate insertion and removal. Generally just a nice long race works quite well if you're doing big numbers. A couple of my clients have got quite good setups where they can punch through them pretty quickly. We'll do a couple hundred in a sort of window. Just a good facility that the cows don't get too stressed in as well. It's all good and well to do bigger numbers, but you don't want to be upsetting the cows and that sort of thing, because you're not going to get a good result. Just good facilities, and just so no one's getting hurt, and that as well works well.
Yep. And is a shelter or some shade over the crush important?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely need a shelter over the crush. It can be a portable shelter if need be for AI time. Just if you haven't got a roof over your crush, doesn't mean that you can't do AI. Just because of the semen is sensitive to light and that sort of thing as well.
I've heard a few stories about holding yards and fencing not being 100%, and bulls, I think, just have this magic uncanny way of finding their way into these cycling cows.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I've got a couple of clients who put their bulls in detention, lock them in the yards, within the cycling window. Just because you don't want that to happen, for sure. It's not a good way to get a good result from a
pregnant animal.
Yeah.
To what extent does stress influence the results of a program, and what can you do to minimise this?
Yeah, stress has a big negative, has a significant negative impact, I would say, on the results. We have done a couple of programs when the environmental conditions weren't the best, and we have seen a reduction in that pregnancy rate compared to what we achieved previously on that same place. Just trying to minimise that stress on the animal, and because you've also got an increased number of yardings than that cow normally would, so you don't want to be, rushing them through and that sort of thing. So yeah, just like low stress stock handling is quite good to keep the cows comfortable in that environment and that, so they're not stressed. And you don't want them like sort of, you are injecting them a couple of times as well, so you don't want them real stressed coming through and then getting quite stirred up on AI day and that too. So yeah, it's
good. I suspect a lot of it comes back to just being organized, everyone knowing what they're doing on the day, and just
Definitely, yeah. Everyone knows what their role is and this prior planning, yep.
I wonder if you could just run through what happens on AI day itself.
So generally I'll get my clients to put a heat detector sticker on the cows just so...
like an Estratec?
Yeah, yep. So just so we can see when we turn up that the cows are cycling. So we'll put them on, make sure that they're rubbed, and then pretty well the cows will be synchronised up to come on within a 3 to 4 hour window. And in that window we'll just AI. So normally for the bigger jobs I'll take a technician with me. Who I'm lucky my mum comes to help me.
Oh, lucky you.
Mum will load the straws and that out of the canister for me and put them into the gun, and then she'll give them to me. So basically the cow comes in the crush, mum will load the straw into the gun, and then I'll AI them, and then just hopefully they'll poke out nice and steady, and then the client will let them back out into their paddock and that for the night after we've done. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
We touched on nutrition as being the biggest variable affecting the result. What other factors affect the results most significantly?
Nutrition's a big one. I think sometimes the environmental conditions can affect it. Like if it's really hot or really cold, you can that can influence your result. But unfortunately, there's not much we can do about that. So that can influence it. But also just the setup of the cows, just making sure that they're not pregnant before you start the program. Even if you've got the most secure fences, I've still seen cows.
Immaculate conceptions.
Yeah, there's not a bull on the place. Well, the neighbour must have had a visit. So just that prior planning before, making sure that the you've got the right, the right program for the things, for the right class of animals and that sort of stuff is all set up. So, yeah, that's a prior planning, yeah.
And I guess if you're sourcing semen from one of the bigger breeding businesses, that quality should be right and things.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Probably more if you're collecting on farm, is it? The way the quality could be available?
Yeah, generally freezing and that, there is like a standard that they've frozen to, even with on-farm collections and that, there should be pretty right. But just making sure that it is up to a good enough quality of semen that you're using, that can impact it too.
And what is the difference in results between fresh and frozen semen?
You will get a slightly increased better result generally with fresh semen, they say, but it's just because it hasn't gone through that freezing process and that sort of thing. I wouldn't like to put an exact figure on it, but it might be a couple of percent. But
and just coming back to results, What's an acceptable rate, say, for cows and heifers, and does that differ between Bos Indicus and Bos Taurus?
Yeah, it definitely differs between Bos Indicus and Bos Taurus breeds and heifers and cows. I always say as long as we're getting 50%, I'm happy, and that might be oftentimes that's a bit lower. Like oftentimes we will achieve a lot better than that, and then you look like a bit of a legend. I'd say I generally say your Bos Indicus breeds, you're more likely to get a bit lower conception rate, just that whether they don't handle the stress of the program or they don't respond as well to the drugs or that sort of thing. And they normally do say about 5% less in heifers than cows, but, just depends on the sort of the setup and that sort of thing.
How often do you see avoidable mistakes being made, and what recommendations would you put forward to mitigate these?
Yeah, mistakes happen back all the time. But I think the most important thing I try and really go through with my clients is right from the start, like I'll do them up a program with their dates and that sort of thing on it, and I just say to them, stick to the dates and the times and that on there, make sure they're within the right window. And then just making sure that they've got the cows set up right from the start. You know, they've had, if there's any suspect that a bull could have got in there, we preg test on them and that sort of thing. And it's just that prior planning, making sure that that we're right to go and everyone's on the same page, and running through the drugs and that sort of thing and explaining to them they're all labelled and everything like that. Just I think, and the guys that I see get the really good results are the ones that do all those one percenters, you know, and it's good to see them get good results because they put in so much effort and that sort of thing. So I think that's the key to getting a good outcome, though, is just that prior planning and making sure everyone that's involved in the program understands what's going on.
Yeah. And if someone misses an injection or something, what should they do?
Yeah, just contact whoever's helping you through that process. Contact your vet or your technician, and they'll sometimes you can fix the mistakes, and then other times you probably can't. But you're better off owning up to the wrong injection given at the wrong time rather than coming to AI day and everyone going, not sure what's going on here. So, yeah, definitely.
And Jo, what happens after AI day?
Well, generally, I say, the cows will go off heat after pretty much 12 to 24 hours after we've AI'd. And then, so you're pretty well right to put bulls out. I often say give them at least 3 or 4 days, but you can put bulls out with them. If you're not doing a second round as well. You can, some clients will do 2 rounds of AI. So in that instance, we'll do a preg test and then resynchronize them. Other clients will just do a natural heat detect on the second round. That's sometimes a good way to get into AIing if you're wanting to learn yourself, because the cows aren't coming on all in one big window. You haven't got a large number. So they'll just heat detect, and, you know, if they've done an AI course, they'll have a go on themselves. Otherwise, if we're just doing one round of AI and then back up bulls, say for 2 or 3 cycles, I'll often just tell them to put the bulls out, say a week later, and then leave them out for 2 cycles, so another 42 days after that, and then we'll generally preg test at, so the AIs would be anywhere from 11 to 12 weeks and then age back from that, just so we can age quite nicely from, say, 12, 9 and 6 weeks. You can split quite nicely, so you can see who's through the AI and who's through the backup bulls, and so that's generally what we'll run with.
And nutrition after AI day, is that important still?
Yeah, definitely. Just keep them on good feed and just making sure that they're still on that rising plane if we can. Just to make sure that they don't drop off too much and that sort of thing. So, yeah, for sure.
And what would be the main advice you give someone considering AI for the first time?
Get into it sooner rather than later. I think it can sometimes seem like a bit of a daunting process at the start, and you don't really know where to start, or, you know, or someone down the road suggested that it's a good idea, but you're just not sure. And just have a good chat with them and get them to point you in the right direction of whoever helped you, help them get started. And, it's definitely worthwhile. It's a worthwhile investment, in my opinion. It's not only my opinion, it's the cost benefit. When you look at it, it's a worthwhile investment. Definitely have a go.
So, Jo, if I attempt to summarise the key elements of getting started in AI in 10 steps, I'd sum these up as follows, and tell me if you disagree,
Yep. Or
you think otherwise. So, preparing early, and maybe it's even up to 6 months before AI day to get your cattle right. You want to find an experienced vet or technician, decide on the date and the protocol to use. Preparing your females is critical from your nutritional point of view, vaccinations, and making sure they're not pregnant.
Yep.
Selecting semen to meet your breeding objectives, making sure your equipment and infrastructure's all in order, making sure your cumate devices and injectables arrive in time and are stored correctly.
Yep.
Staff need to be well briefed and managed, and reducing stress, you said. I guess you want in those holding paddocks too, plenty of shade and feed and water. We didn't really touch on that, but that's maintaining that nutrition's important, isn't it, during the synchronisation?
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to lock them in the yards for like a day while you've got to do the injections and that on them, for sure, yeah.
And then we talked about making sure holding paddocks are secure to keep away those wandering bulls and immaculate conceptions. And then you also touched on, setting those diary or calendar reminders to ensure all treatments are given on the right day, at the right time, at the right dose.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that sum it up, or is there anything else we've missed.
No, I think that we've covered it pretty well, Beck. And, yeah, it might seem like a long list of things to do there, but it's once you sort of get into it and you get your program and that, you realise it's really not that big of a daunting experience. And it's, yeah, it's a really rewarding one. When you, I had a client the other day that I'd helped do an AI program, and they were very excited to see all their calves come out within like 20 or 30 cows dropping on one day, you know. So it's, yeah, it's very rewarding when you see that happening. So,
oh, well, Joe, thank you very much for your time and insights into getting started with AI. I think it's about time I started you a G&T and dinner.
Sounds good to me, Beck.
Before we go, I'll just mention again that we've published an article on this topic on our Repro 360 website, alongside our tips to maximise the results from assisted breeding programs. And remember, ask your vet or technician for advice, or don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give us a call at Repro 360 if you'd like to learn more. Our advice is given freely and willingly when it comes to making better bovine babies.
Thank you.